welcome to the audio edition of In Touch Online for December 2022, with an introduction from the Provincial Grand Master. Christmas isn't a season, it's a feeling. I know when Christmas is just around the corner, and it's not when Christmas lights appear in the windows of houses, or when I see an inflatable Santa stuck halfway down a chimney and urban gardens being taken over by plastic snowmen and reindeer. It's not even when garden centres are transformed into Christmas grottos and shops are playing a medley of greatest hits from Christmases past. Just how many times can you bear to hear Noddy Holder proclaiming Merry Christmas Everybody or Roy Wood's Wizard singing I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day? As for mountains of mince pies and party food alongside sprouts, parsnips and potatoes, well, just don't get me started. Actually, for me, the precursor of Christmas is when every second advert on the television or radio is an appeal for a worthy cause or charity, when newspapers carry full-page advertisements asking you and me to help save polar bears for £3 a month, donkeys for £10, and the homeless for £29.07. I know you're asking why the odd 7p. Well, there is an answer, and you can find it by following the link on the online version of the newsletter. There really is no doubt whatsoever that Christmas is a great time to take full advantage of peace on earth and goodwill to all. Now, I want to assure you that I'm not being a curmudgeon or joining the Scrooge school of casual indifference. What I'm attempting to do is highlight how Christmas is viewed by almost the entire world as a special time for people to care for others and to prove how much they care by giving. Indeed, it can truly be said that Christmas is about doing special things to special people. It's about forgetting ourselves and giving to others. As a Freemason, we are expected to practice that virtue we profess to admire, I mean charity. However, let's not wait until Christmas to show how much we care. Let's keep the Christmas spirit in our hearts every day of the year. Talking of charity appeals, I would make my own appeal on behalf of the Provincial Grand Charity Steward Clive Emerson and the Masonic Charitable Foundation. In 2023, I will launch the Wiltshire 2028 Festival, a fundraising event that is hoped to raise tens of thousands of pounds. Some brethren have gone to great pains in reminding me that times are hard and the cost of living will prove a serious impediment to the festival's success. To the first comment, I would suggest that times are always hard, and to the second, I would simply say that I don't think that my reliance on the generosity of Wiltshire Freemasons is misplaced in the slightest. I'm confident that our lodges and their members will respond in a most positive manner to the Wiltshire 2028 Festival Appeal. In this, my first Christmas message as your Provincial Grand Master, I wish you season's greetings and trust that for you, the best of all gifts around your Christmas tree will be the presence of a happy family all wrapped up in each other. Brother Alan Bancroft, a member of Lodge of Friendship and Unity, meeting in the lovely town of Bradford-on-Avon, is a sprightly 80 years young and is still working full-time as a builder. He used to play as a fullback for the local football club and now supports Bradford Town football team. Recently, Alan was the match sponsor and presented a prize to the man of the match, who doesn't look old enough to be drinking the prize. Brother Colin Froud and his wife Hilary have volunteered for guide dogs for over 10 years. In November, they were invited to the Guide Dogs 2022 National Awards at Reading, having been nominated as one of the finalists. They were surprised and delighted when they were announced as the winners of the Volunteer Expert category. They have fostered a number of other guide dogs during the year, including a dog which had just had a stroke and required help with walking and feeding. At times, they had up to three dogs. One of the guide dogs they've been looking after was on a weight loss programme. In just over 4 months, they had reduced guide dog Stevie's weight from 55 kilograms to 38 with regular exercise and diet. Hilary has been covering a good 10 miles a day. Colin is the secretary of Brothers in Arms Lodge, and Hilary is a retired nurse. And from the Provincial Grand Director of Ceremonies, in this edition of In Touch Online, I want to reiterate the provincial view on a subject which continues to cause confusion in some of our lodges at installations. Three addresses to three different groups of people seems so simple, doesn't it? And yet, if there is one subject which creates a sense of them and us, it's the big question of the day: do I stand or do I remain in my seat? When does this dilemma occur? Yes, you've guessed it. It's that moment when the Provincial Director of Ceremonies escorts the Provincial Junior Warden onto the floor of the lodge and intones, with the brethren of whatever lodge it is, with the exception of the worshipful master and the recently installed wardens, please stand. The seeming dilemma is, who should stand? Which begs the question, who are the brethren to whom the address is being made? I suggest the answer is perfectly logical, based on the fact that there are only three addresses. The first to the worshipful master, the second to the newly appointed and invested wardens, and the third to those who remain, the brethren. Thus all becomes crystal clear. If you are not the master or eyes of the wardens, you stand. However, it seems that for some brethren, the thought remains that the address titled to the brethren is only for those who have not yet been wardens in the lodge. Interestingly, the same logic is not applied to a master or a warden taking the office for a second time, or for a brother moving from being junior to senior warden. In the address, we are told that some must of necessity teach and rule, that would be the master and his two wardens, while others must of course learn, submit and obey, that's the rest of the lodge. And humility in each is an essential qualification. In the second degree, we are reminded that, although distinctions among men are necessary to preserve subordination, let no eminence of situation cause us to forget we are brothers, equally entitled to the same regard. I am so glad that in Wiltshire, almost all of our lodges have adopted the practice of every brother standing to receive the words delivered by the provincial junior grand warden. If your lodge is resisting the invitation to join, can I say that past provincial grand masters, right worshipful and very worshipful brethren, and grand officers have not thought it beneath their dignity to stand to hear the wonderful words of the address to the brethren. So next time the provincial junior warden steps forward, don't feel abashed to jump to your feet and stand with your brothers in the lodge when the provincial grand director of ceremonies asks, with the brethren of whatever lodge, with the exception of the worshipful master and the recently installed wardens, please stand. And the provincial grand master remembers, Swindon Heritage recently unveiled its 12th blue plaque to celebrate the life of one of its most famous sons. And Right Worshipful Brother Byron Caron was invited to do the honours at the Bath Road residence where his father, renowned operatic tenor Arthur Caron, grew up. Byron's father sang in the choir at the Central Methodist Church, where a clergyman heard him sing and suggested he take professional lessons in the capital. He made his operatic debut at the Old Vic as Tannhauser in 1929. Arthur Caron was a founding member of SALOS, the Swindon Light Operatic Society, and used to host meetings and auditions at his home. In 1931, he became the Old Vic Company's leading tenor when it moved to Sadler's Wells Theatre. His roles there included Fra Diavolo, Manrico of Il Trovatore, Radames of Aida, Cavaradossi of Tosca, and Otello. Arthur's mentor and teacher were so impressed with his musicality that she suggested he audition for the Metropolitan Opera in New York City, and in 1935 he made his debut there as the first Englishman to sing at the Met, playing Canio in Pagliacci, and taking 15 curtain calls during one performance. And then he remained with the Opera House until 1946. His biggest concert in Chicago attracted an audience of over 10,000 people. Before he retired in 1952, Arthur spent the last 6 years of his career at Covent Garden. He died in 1967. Byron said, My father sang at Alexandra Palace during the beginning of the BBC, and his voice was so strong it broke some of the microphones. He just didn't need one. He was the seventh child of a seventh child, which is something special. Methuen Lodge is pleased to welcome Dr. John Hawkins, the Prestonian Lecturer for 2022, to Swindon on Tuesday the 6th of December. Wiltshire has a long Masonic association with the royal family, with His Royal Highness the Prince George, Duke of Kent, having been Provincial Grand Master from 1934 to 1938. The most worshipful Grand Master, the Duke of Kent, has held the title since the age of six, and since 1967 has been Grand Master of the United Grand Lodge of England. The Master and Brethren of Methuen Lodge will also be honoured by the presence of the Right Worshipful Provincial Grand Master for Wiltshire and provincial officers. To get the Wiltshire 2028 Festival off to a great start, the team has commissioned a flavour-filled gin, Seal of Solomon, and it's the same great price as it was in 2021, only £40. Middle Chamber Dry Gin is available to purchase online at the Wiltshire 2028 shop. To avoid disappointment, why not reserve your bottle of Middle Chamber by emailing Mark Newman at mn@s33keris.co.uk. Or better still, buy direct by clicking on the link on the online version of this newsletter. You can also ask your lodge bar steward to pour you a gin and tonic and specify middle chamber, Seal of Solomon, dry gin. It's also a great tasting gin without a mixer. Holes in your gloves, or are they just looking tired and worn out? Now's the right time to buy a pair, or two, or even three, of Wiltshire 2028 Festival gloves. Super value, great fitting cotton gloves with the Festival logo boldly displayed. Value for money at only £10 per pair, plus post and packing. To order your gloves, shop online by clicking on the link on the online version of this newsletter. Remember, buying Festival gin or Festival gloves means you will be supporting the Wiltshire 2028 Festival, which in turn supports the Masonic Charitable Foundation. The Learning and Development Team is holding another Finding Your Feet session on Saturday the 26th of November at the Masonic Hall, Morris Lane Devizes, and any new Wiltshire Freemason will be made very welcome. You can register online using the link on the newsletter to book your place. Everyone attending the sessions has said how helpful they were. Now it's your opportunity to find out whether they were telling the truth or just being nice to teacher. The team is also holding a Deacon's Workshop on Saturday the 17th of December at the Masonic Centre, The Plank, Swindon, and any brother interested in learning about this very important lodge office will be made very welcome. The work of the lodge deacon is visible to every brother sitting in the lodge room, and is a combination of walking, talking, and guiding. It's not for the faint-hearted, but it is fun. You can register online using the link on the newsletter. And finally, brethren from Swindon travelled to Mark Mason's Hall to see Terry Baker receive his 50-year certificate from Metropolitan Grand Lodge, 36 years of those as a Wiltshire Freemason. During the evening, Terry took the chair to pass his son, Simon. Thank you for listening.